The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily radio show. Still getting set up here, a little late going, coming up the stairs for this morning's program. Lots of good feedback, by the way, coming from our viewers, our listeners, on the new set, and I'll come to some of that here in just a second. Just a reminder that the concert tonight, I mentioned yesterday how that we make that available for live streaming. If you're interested, the cost is $15. It'll be our very own Mark Jenkins performing with some local musicians here in Oklahoma, a tribute to Ellis Marsalis. So that starts tonight at 7:30 at the beautiful venue, Armstrong Auditorium. And if you'd like to watch that online, of course, if you live in the area, you can come and see it live. In either case, go to armstrongauditorium.org if you're interested in that show. Some feedback coming from Facebook. Wow, the studio is beautiful, it says. Good job to the staff. And then another one says, what a powerful message. Thank you. Love the new studio. It's so big. It is spacious. We've got some room here for, as I said yesterday, for the Super Bowl watch party, I suppose. We can fit quite a few bodies in here, and we have the big screen over to my left that hopefully we can make use of for some interviews down the road as well. Another one here says, just wanted to say that we love the new studio setup. Very professional looking. Also, it's working great for me not using YouTube anymore, as I can still access the video links from the trumpet.com website just fine. I especially like how I can minimize the video and keep listening and still do other things on my iPad, like find recipes and so on. With YouTube, the video would shut off as soon as you switched to something else. So I find it much better for me, anyway. It says, plus, it's nice to know it comes directly from the source or from the church. Another one here says, what a great look to the set. Love the TD, that it's not under the control of the crooked media anymore. My wife and I watch every morning. You all do such a fantastic job. Wish you were able to have closed caption. We'll be patient and enjoy anyway and appreciate all that God provides. A couple more here. It says, it's great watching through your own website. The IT folks are doing an amazing job. Don't miss YouTube at all. In fact, disappointed in YouTube and how they have behaved. Enjoyed Friday's program with Richard Palmer. Thanks again for bringing God's true message. Another one here says, keep up the good work at thetrumpet.com. Very slick new studio, but I think you need a plant, some greenery. So there's some feedback asking for us to green it up a little bit. We should add some birds, in fact. In fact, Richard, if Richard is watching, he needs to make his way over here to set us up with the bird cam, because the birds here in Oklahoma, I in comparing both sites, by the way, I favored Edstone just for the variety of birds that came out. But just in this recent stint here in Oklahoma, since we got here for the ministerial conference about a month ago, I think I've seen three, maybe four new varieties of birds. So my love for the birds here in Oklahoma has surely increased over the last few weeks. And I expect that it's only going to get better as we move toward the warmer months and the hummingbirds start coming in to the feeder in April. So we're looking forward to that over at our house here on the headquarters campus. One last comment here. It says, I've just watched today's Trumpet Daily. I can't thank you enough for producing this program that explains the facts hidden from us by the mainstream media, showing the breathtaking similarities between the biblical history of Absalom's attempt to usurp the throne of King David and what we're witnessing in America right now makes things crystal clear. Well, we'll get into more about what's happening in America right now, specifically America's broken judgment. My father's got an article coming out on that. In the next Trumpet magazine, the articles from that issue should be posted anytime now in the next day or two. But he just takes us through some prophecies, specifically in the book of Micah, but there's other such prophecies in Habakkuk and Amos that talk about our nations and their broken judgment today and what the courts are doing to destroy the family, to actually cause the breakdown in the family. And as Herbert Armstrong taught us so many, many, many years, the family is the foundation of any strong, stable society. And when the family breaks down, everything breaks down. America's broken judgment, you can look for it in the next issue of the Trumpet magazine. Just a quick follow-up on the good governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo, who everything, as we've said so many times, everything that these radical leftists accuse Donald Trump of, they're guilty of. Themselves. Guilty. He talked, Andrew Cuomo did last week, about incompetent government and how that it caused deaths during the COVID-19 crisis. And of course, he's blaming it on the federal government. That would be the Trump administration. And then you see all of these reports coming out about what Andrew Cuomo did wrong. And as you heard yesterday in that montage, through it all, he says, hey, I just tried to do the right thing. I've saved lives, he said. He believes he's saved lives. The New York Times, when the major media begins to turn on the leftist, you know there must be piles of evidence regarding his wrongdoing, because the New York Times yesterday comes out with this article about 9 top New York health officials quitting the Cuomo administration or leaving the state government. These top officials, they're upset with the way Cuomo leads. And he had this statement on Friday denouncing the experts. And, the experts in New York, they didn't like it. This is from Friday, a press conference, clip 1.
When I say experts, in air quotes, it sounds like I'm saying I don't really trust the experts. Because I don't.
Because I don't. I don't trust them. There's one statement from Andrew Cuomo that we actually agree with here on this program. But he caught a lot of criticism from the major media, the propaganda media, who have full faith, total trust in the experts. And then, as I say, the experts themselves, 9 public health officials resigning in protest against this particular government, who wrote a book about himself in the midst of the crisis last year. This is from the New York Times, that piece. It says, in Albany, tensions worsened in recent months as state health officials said they often found out about major changes in pandemic policy only after Mr. Cuomo announced them at news conferences and then asked them to match their health guidance to the announcements. So this is someone that was just ruling by decree, just like with the decree saying, if you're sick, if you're an elderly sick person infirmed with COVID-19, go back into the elderly health care center. What's the problem? What's the problem? We've got to free up the beds anyway in the hospitals. And so the beds were open. They stayed open all through the year. And thousands upon thousands of elderly people in these elderly centers were dying. It says in the New York Times, current and former health officials agreed to be interviewed about the crisis inside the public health bureaucracy only on condition of anonymity, saying that they feared retaliation for speaking out against the governor. So you've got these 9 health officials that have resigned, and then you've got these other officials that are quite happy to talk to the New York Times, but only as anonymous sources because, well, Governor Cuomo would retaliate. That's the way he runs the government. That's the way it works in New York. That's the way it works under Cuomo and his leadership. One final quote here. It says, the government and his aides said the vaccine rollout was hamstrung by the federal government, which they blamed for a lack of vaccine. So they blame the here's the Trump administration, almost miraculously spurring on these big drug companies to produce these vaccines. And it happens in a matter of months. Unheard of. It's unheard of. And then they botched the rollout in New York State. And so what does Cuomo and his administration do? Well, they blame Donald Trump. Of course, it's always the big bad orange man's fault. It always comes down to Donald Trump. And yet everything that the propaganda media hates about Donald Trump, everything that they make up about Donald Trump, it's actually true about Andrew Cuomo. That's the truth. Cuomo here, you can just see it. You read between the lines in this New York Times article. And here's a leader that, I mean, he doesn't like the experts. Okay, he'll retaliate. He botched the rollout of the vaccine. Listen to CNN last night as they talk about Andrew Cuomo and what he said on Friday regarding the experts. This is Jake Tapper with Sanjay Gupta, I believe. Clip two.
Sanjay, that seems like a wildly irresponsible thing for a leader to say during a pandemic. We need the public to believe the experts. Do you have any concerns?
I'm really quite stunned that that's what he said, and I'm curious to talk to him and understand, clarify that a bit. Yeah, I think it's irresponsible. If you start to take away some of the credence of these experts, I think that's really, really harmful, especially now.
I mean, if you're a left-wing leader, you can't criticize Fauci. It doesn't matter how many times Fauci flip-flops about masks or not wearing masks or wearing two masks or how that there's no studies to show that two masks is helpful. You just have to go with Fauci. You have to go with the experts. You can't criticize them. That's CNN. If Andrew Cuomo loses the New York Times and CNN, he's in trouble. He is in trouble. I think this was over at Fox News, but this is a New York City Council member slamming Governor Cuomo over this report that came out about how that it was actually twice as bad in the elderly homes as what the Cuomo administration was letting on. This is clip three.
Well, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo caught up in multiple controversies over his handling of the coronavirus. And now a new report says he's also facing an exodus of his top health officials. Nine of them quitting so far, claiming morale in the department is at an all-time low. Joining me now is New York City Councilman Joe Borelli. And Joe, this report in the New York Times says that among the people who departed, the Deputy Commissioner for Public Health, the Director of Communicable Disease Control, the Medical Director for Epidemiology, the State Epidemiologist, all saying that they were sidelined, disrespected by the governor and his policies. What's going on here?
Well, John, if this isn't the siren song for my fellow New Yorkers, I don't know what is. And in my opinion, the governor needs to think about stepping aside. Look at the totality. We had this nursing home order expose last week by the attorney general. The cover up was exposed. Now we have the evidence that he sidelined his own health department on the vaccine rollout in favor of the Greater New York Hospital Association, which, for those that don't know, is one of Albany's biggest lobbying groups, one of his biggest donor groups. And then again, the totality, all this while, whether it's vaccines or deaths or the state's budget deficit, the economy, unemployment, this is a governor who has led the worst response in the United States of America. I think it's time for him to really think about heading down the thruway one final time.
Really, you could say the worst response, I think, in the world. And yet, how have the media covered this to this point? Well, you heard the montage yesterday. They love him. They think he's saving lives. And the truth is exactly the opposite. Listen to one more statement from that same New York City council member. Clip four.
And again, it was the state's Democratic attorney general who really threw the floodgates open on this. Mm-hmm. You know, New Yorkers and anyone are really giving willing to give a little leeway to a governor who acted in the best interest and maybe made some mistakes. But that's not what we had here in New York. We had a governor making bad policy that killed many people. And then he tried to deliberately avoid sharing that evidence with New Yorkers and the world for months. So this is an unforgivable offense at this point. It's not just bad policy. It's a bad person.
It's a scandalous cover-up is what it was. They covered up the truth for months because he didn't want to look bad. He didn't want the deaths, thousands of deaths, blamed on his bad policy. There's a councilman that calls him a bad person who had bad policies, and thousands died because of it. Bad policy that killed many people. He's responsible. He said himself last week, bad government. It kills people. Incompetent government. It kills people, and that's what we've seen here. Again, my father's his article that's coming out in the next trumpet. Broken judgment. We're seeing some of these prophecies fulfilled right before our eyes. The Washington Examiner had a piece here. This is supposedly, I think, a conservative publication, but you have to put that in quotes because they, like many, they see Donald Trump as a greater danger than the radical left. It says here in the Examiner, domestic terrorism, a phenomenon formerly associated with left-wing groups, such as the Weather Underground, Black Liberation Army, the Puerto Rican FALN, separatists, has returned with blood in its eyes and on its hands. You know where they're going with this. It says, we saw five dead in the January 6th attempted coup d'etat. Five dead. So we know about the woman got shot in the neck. And we still don't know the identity of this police officer. I mean, that happens in Kenosha or Detroit or somewhere in Portland. A police officer shooting a protester if it's a left-wing protester, shooting him in the neck. Do you think we'd know about that police officer? We'd know everything about him. He'd be suspended. He'd be fired. He'd be going to court trying to defend himself. In this case, no charges. We don't even know who the guy is. Now, who are the other four casualties? What do we know about them? Nothing. Two police officers involved in that protest committed suicide. Now, how strange and fishy does that sound? We know why. Why? This is an attempted coup d'etat that lasted for 4 hours, led by the Viking hat and some guy in a wheelchair and the elderly woman that was taking snapshots as she walked through the Capitol. This is crazy. Now it's the Washington Examiner. It says, we saw five dead. Okay, well, tell us about those. Were there any that the insurrectionists killed? We know nothing. We know nothing about these five, except for the woman that we saw on video get shot in the neck. And that fire was coming from the Capitol Hill police, not from the protesters. It says here, we saw possible assassination plots against both former Vice President Mike Pence and House Speaker Pelosi. Possible assassination plots. How many times did we hear from celebrities and even newsmen talking about holding the decapitated head of Donald Trump? That was right at the start. You had the celebrities saying, I dream about blowing up the White House. It was nonstop. For how many days? What was it? 1,546 days? As they talked about killing President Trump, his family, anyone associated with him. And now here you have the Washington Examiner. Who's the only enemy of the United States? Well, that would be Donald Trump and people that voted for Donald Trump. It says, we saw coercion designed to prevent certification of President Biden's Electoral College victory. We now see the Capitol necessarily secured behind razor wire. All of these Republicans just surrendering to the pressure coming from the mob and the media, the mob of the Democrat Party, even Ted Cruz. He gave an interview recently, and even Ted Cruz started talking about how reckless and irresponsible Donald Trump. Of course, it's Donald Trump. Everyone's against him, so even Ted Cruz is running for cover. It's like my father has said repeatedly. They're in the midst of a war, and they don't even know it. They don't even see the real enemy. As I had on yesterday's program, I titled it, The Radical Left Declares War on America. And there's a lot of Republicans that don't even know that we're in the midst of a war. Here's the Washington Examiner. Speaking of that protest on January 6th as if it was a coup d'etat, Tom Elliott, he's the founder of Grabian, he tweeted this out. On Earth 2, Trump's Election Day lead ended up prevailing and he's narrowly reelected. Antifa and Black Lives Matter contest the results, organizing demonstrations in D.C. on January 6th. Their plan? Create Chaz 2. They occupy the Capitol and issue a series of demands. And then Tom Elliott says, does the media call it domestic terror? Soberly report the news? Rationalize the violence? Or try rallying support? How would the media report on that? It's a good question. It's a good question to consider. There was one individual, he comes from New Mexico. He's in jail right now awaiting his trial. He was at the January 6th protest, a Trump supporter. He's some kind of county official in New Mexico. He heads up this organization called Cowboys for Trump. His name's Coy Griffin. He was at the protest, didn't go inside the Capitol. He was just there. But he's made some you know, pretty outlandish remarks on social media. And it's talked about, you know, Democrats should be killed or whatever. You can't defend that sort of rhetoric. But it is rhetoric. And we heard a lot of that the last 4 years, did we not? Well, now you've got, this is from the prosecution. This is what, they're going after this leader, Cowboys for Trump, this county commissioner in New Mexico. He's being charged with illegally entering a restricted area, and yet he never entered the Capitol building. He just walked around the exterior, and then he gets home and he makes some of these comments on social media, and they're going after him. Oh, yes. Here's what the prosecution has sought. It says, if the defendant denies the authority of the lawfully elected president of the United States, whose election was certified by the Congress of the United States, certainly he would deny the authority of the judicial officers appointed by the president and confirmed by the Senate. You follow the logic here? If he thinks the election was stolen, well, he's a danger to society. If he doesn't accept what Congress has certified, how is he going to accept what a judge says in this case? So what does the judge say? Well, this is from BuzzFeed. The refusal to recognize the legitimacy of the election, the judge said, meant that he couldn't have confidence that Griffin would obey orders if released. So here he's awaiting trial, and he can't even be released until the trial starts because he's a Trump supporter that believes the election was stolen. It's unbelievable. Now, as I say, we're not here defending what Griffin has said on his social media sites. But the judge in his ruling says, hey, words matter. And I would agree with that. But what about all this other rhetoric that we heard all of last summer, that we heard all of last year? And how much longer will it be before some judge somewhere comes after God's work and says, hey, okay, you weren't at the protests. I understand. You didn't actually do anything. I understand. But words matter. Well, they're trying to convict the president himself next week, the real president, because of his words. Even though we now know the so-called coup d'etat was pre-planned, It was planned ahead of time, before the January 6th speech by President Trump. But that doesn't matter. Hey, words matter. I mean, you've committed a thought crime. You've said something you said something to incite violence. And so, look, I know your trial's not for a while yet, but we're just going to go ahead and keep you in jail because you're a danger. You're a danger to society. God's word talks about broken judgment. Broken judgment. Micah, I mean, the prophet Micah compares our society to a bunch of cannibals, basically. We're just destroying ourselves. I'll come to that verse in just a second. But here's an example. If you believe the election is stolen, then that automatically means you don't respect the laws of the land. Here come these radical leftists now, and they're talking about law and order. They're talking about an election that was certified. They're talking about an election that was, the Congress of the United States certified this. These are the same people that just a few months ago were promoting lawlessness. Yeah, what you see behind me burning the building, it's mostly peaceful around here. That police precinct that went up in flames in Minnesota, Minneapolis, policemen running for their lives. We saw as it spread around the world, happened here in the U.S., happened in the U.K. Remember those images of the U.K. policemen just running down the streets, running away from the mob? Mostly peaceful, they said. Lawlessness on display daily, daily. Amos 5 and verse 7, it says, "You who turn judgment to wormwood and leave off righteousness in the earth." Amos 6 and verse 12. It says, "For you have turned judgment into gall." It's similar language to what Peter said about Simon Magus in Acts chapter 8 to show just how perverted the justice system of today really and truly is. You may have seen stories this week about the founder of the Lincoln Project. This is this group of Republicans who absolutely despise Donald Trump. They hate Donald Trump. They see Donald Trump as public enemy number one. And they despise Trump supporters as well. Well, here we learn this week or over the last several days, the founder of this organization, John Weaver, he evidently is a sexual predator. 21 young men. 21 young men have come forward with complaints about this individual. This group that's produced all of these nasty attack ads leading up to the November 3rd election. And it's headed up by this guy. And if truth be told, it was an open secret. A lot of people knew about what was going on. Now, the left-wing media, you hear a little bit about this case in the right-wing media. But the left-wing media, I mean, they after just heaping praise on the Lincoln Project for months because, well, these were courageous Republicans who were standing up to Donald Trump. And now they've gone silent. Mika Brzezinski, she's over at MSNBC. She has George Conway on. And this is the big interview to talk about John Weaver, the pedophile. And she says to George Conway, you were in that Lincoln project. Do you have any comment? And the interview, I'm not joking, it lasted for less than 60 seconds. As George Conway then looked at the camera and said, "I don't know what to say. I'm speechless. I didn't know the guy. I talked to him once or twice on the phone." George Conway co-authored an opinion piece in the New York Times with John Weaver. They carried the same byline. Now he doesn't know him. Now he didn't know anything about that behavior. That op-ed, by the way, "We are Republicans and we want Donald Trump defeated," said John Weaver together with George Conway, Steve Schmidt, Rick Wilson, all of these commentators that hate Donald Trump. He's Adolf Hitler. And meanwhile, all of this filth just swept under the rug. All of this filth, this perverted judgment, broken judgment. Listen to Karl Rove. He's another prominent Republican. Didn't like Donald Trump very much. He's over at Fox News. And the Fox News, I think this is Martha McCallum, she talks about how that Karl Rove knew about this, what John Weaver was involved in, years ago, back in the early 2000s. And then Karl Rove corrects her and said, well, actually, I'd heard this sort of thing going back to 1988. Here's clip six.
John Weaver was one of the people who ran it. He has a lot of accusations against him from young men who call him a sexual predator. You mentioned this back in 2004, that this was a concern of yours. You know, this isn't something that anybody really wants to be vindicated on, but it turns out that you were right.
Well, I didn't mention it in 2004. It was printed in an Atlantic article by Joshua Green, who's now a major figure with Bloomberg. I've actually known about this pattern of behavior since 1988. All I want to say is that the statements from those 21 young men who talked about how they'd been approached by Mr. Weaver, that statement speaks for itself. And I don't have anything to add to it.
It just seems really strange, doesn't it? If it's pedophilia, he's known about it since 1988. He says the statement speaks for itself. I don't have anything to add to it. Nothing? You're a commentator. This has gone on for decades? This is the guy who headed up the Lincoln Project to try to take down Donald Trump? And then George Conway, for his part. I'm speechless. I don't know what to say. You don't know what to say? Can you not come out? You've had a lot of comments about the bad orange man. And most of it's not even true. And now you have this. And they don't know what to say, these commentators. They're just speechless. I don't have anything to add. How about, for starters, this has gone on for decades and a lot of powerful people knew about it. It's the same thing as Jeffrey Epstein. It's the same thing as Harvey Weinstein. This kind of rank hypocrisy, filth, squalor. It just goes on for years and years and years. And you know what? You know what the courts do with this? In a lot of ways, they promote it. Look at what they do with pornography. That's what my father writes about in Broken Judgment. Look at what they do to push homosexuality and homosexual marriage on us. Look at what they do with abortion. These are things that all pass in the courts, like my father brings out in the article. They can't even get some of these extreme radical leftist ideas through Congress, and so the courts legislate. America's broken judgment. Broken judgment. Under that article, it says, corrupt courts are a nation-destroying problem. Do you believe the prophecies of God? Is this a nation-destroying problem? My father says, a great deal of corruption in the court system is being exposed. Yet these courts are determining the future of the nation and your life. He says, we need to understand what the Bible says about this subject. It has some amazingly specific and condemning prophecies about our courts. He quotes from the book of Micah, as I said earlier, Micah 3 and verse 1, it says, and I said, here I pray you, O heads of Jacob, that would be Israel, the nations of Israel today, and you princes of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know judgment? Shouldn't you know judgment? Shouldn't you have a better sense of what's right and wrong? You're the princes. You're the leaders. But what does God say about the leadership? In Isaiah 1, he says the head is sick. The whole body is sick. But from head to toe, the head is the government. Sickness has set in. And so what do we see? Well, if you were even at that protest, and then you put it together with some some words that are dangerous. You've got to be held in jail. You've got to be kept in prison until your trial. Because that's serious. That's a serious infraction. That's a serious violation. And meanwhile, this scandal, this sexual scandal, where underage boys were abused, it goes on for decades. It goes on for Karl Rove. He knew about it from 1988 on. George Conway says, oh, I didn't know him very well, even as he writes an article together with that founder. Now, everyone, I guess, is capable of missing some disturbing signs. And who knows how many people knew about it and how many people didn't. But I suspect it's very similar to the Epstein case and all of the people connected to him, including powerful politicians in the United States and Britain. And the media, well, they're not interested in that. And the courts, well, they're not interested in that either. We're just talking about, you know, sexual impurities. We're talking about maybe a little bit of pedophilia, maybe a little bit of rape, but it's not so bad. I mean, sex sins, after all, look at what the courts have allowed over the years. Micah 3 and verse 2, it says, they hate the good and love the evil, who pluck off their skin from off them and their flesh from off their bones, who also eat the flesh of my people and flay their skin from off of them. This is pretty disgusting. It says, and they break their bones and they chop them in pieces, as for the pot and as the flesh within the cauldron. My father talks about this, as he says, this grisly metaphor right there in the third chapter of Micah. Why would God describe our justice system this way? Well, my father says, consider the legacy of America's courts. Many of the worst perversions in the nation's history have been approved not by legislators who were voted into office, but by the courts. In many cases, these perversions were so extreme they couldn't be approved democratically, so instead the courts approved them. Only later did they become normalized and accepted by everyday Americans. Well, you just accept it. How long has it gone on? Since 1988, that I know of. But you just turn a blind eye to it. You just let it go on. How many young men have come forward? 21. Not one, not two, 21. And they're bringing charges that you give me this sexual favor, I'll give you this promotion. That sort of thing went on. Now, Trump is the bad, evil Hitler. And if you were anywhere near that protest on January 6th, you go to jail. That's where you need to be. And then look at this. This is just common. It's like my father says in the article. They couldn't get it democratically approved, so the courts legislated. Some judge legislates from the bench, and then over time, it just becomes kind of normal. My father says, for decades, U.S. courts have ruled that not all pornography is obscene. Well, we've got to have some pornography. It's free speech. Never mind that county official from New Mexico and what he said on Facebook. That's over the line. We got to put him in jail. Now this, we want to spew this out all over the internet and all over the world. It's free speech, after all. That's what we celebrate in the United States of America. Pornography, pornographic sites, some of the most popular websites in the world. More popular than CNN, more popular than the New York Times, more popular than Fox News. And the courts, it's got solid support, pornography, from the justice system, the judicial system. It says a 2018 survey found that 98% of men and 73% of women reported internet porn use in the previous 6 months. The average child is just 11 years old when he first encounters pornography. That's from my father's article, his forthcoming piece, America's Broken Judgment. What is happening to our nations? What has happened to the judgment of our princes, our leaders, our judges? It says the courts have also led in pushing homosexuality. In 2003, Lawrence versus Texas made homosexuality legal across America. In 2015, Obergefell and Hodges legalized same-sex marriage. This is all legislation from the bench. These decisions would not have been made by Congress, which should be making law. In many cases, a majority of Americans have been against the leftist agenda. But that doesn't matter, you see. And here's the point that my father ends with. He says, family breakdown is destroying lives and our entire civilization. And America's courts have led the way. No wonder God is wrathful. No wonder he's wrathful. No wonder he compares us to cannibals. Because spiritually speaking, we're destroying each other. We're eating one another's flesh in the spiritual sense. Verse 11 of Micah 3. It warns that our leaders judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. Yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us. These are not just judges. That's what Micah is saying. These are corrupt judges. And then they come out in front of the cameras or in public speaking engagements and say, well, isn't God among us? We can't rule in an evil way. We're a judge in a federal court or a state court, or we're in the Supreme Court. Malachi 2 in verse 9 condemns those who are partial in the law. And that's what we see a lot of in our world today, in our nations today. That article that my father wrote, as I say, it'll be posted at the trumpet.com website here in the next couple of days. But he talked about how Christ, he spoke of the weightier matters of the law. I believe that's in Matthew 23. The weightier matters being judgment, mercy, and faith. And he emphasizes the order there. The order in which Jesus Christ talked about these weightier matters. The first being judgment. My father says God puts judgment above mercy and faith. We must give the weightier matters proper priority in the proper order. When we neglect these weightier matters of the law, evil flourishes, as my father explains, and it destroys nations. That's the truth. There are consequences. We're witnessing a lot of that destruction right up close. When we come back, we'll conclude today's program with more listener and viewer feedback. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to contact the program or submit feedback of your own, you can write us at td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
I'm speaking to you from our television studios in Pasadena, where I speak to the world as a voice crying out in the wilderness of modern religious confusion.
Herbert W. Armstrong was the world's leading televangelist and one of the most prominent religious leaders of the 20th century. Watched, read and followed by millions worldwide. But his legacy of Bible-based humanitarianism came under attack after he died. The cabal of leaders who took control of the church he founded, after pledging to follow in his footsteps, methodically destroyed all he had built. Those who would stop them were silenced or excommunicated. This shocking story of betrayal and deception is told in Raising the Ruins. To learn more, please visit thetrumpet.com. This is KPCG-FM, and this is The Trumpet Daily.
An update here from Richard Palmer at Edstone on our most read articles over the past week. The top two, the same article, they came in different formats. One, the Trumpet brief that my father sent out, Why I Still Believe Donald Trump is Coming Back. That has 9,506 page views over the past week. And then the article posted at the Trumpet.com website, 40,484. So that's far and away the most viewed article from over the past week. 40,000, and then in second place, the same article with 9,500. Now, I think we've done some promotion for both of these pieces, but again, it's good to get people coming over to the website. They can see articles like that and then see what else the website has to offer. And as many of you noted in those first few comments that I read at the start of the program, the fact that we're producing the program or giving a platform for programs like this on the website itself, that's a big step in the right direction as well. Some listener and viewer feedback. This one comes from Zimbabwe. It says, I avidly follow your Trumpet Daily program from Zimbabwe. I'm aware of the Jeroboam prophecy you and your father have discussed since before 2016. It says, your unwavering consistency on that message has given me an overwhelming sense of respect for how you hold on to your convictions and the truth. And the truth. Unwavering respect, as he says there. Some great feedback. It says, this fearless stance on the truth and what you believe in can be found nowhere else in the world. It is unique. It can only come from God. Another one here coming from New Jersey. It says, your show is the best. It's informative. It's spiritual. It's truth. It's refreshing to hear the truth. I look forward to your show every weekday. God bless you and all the folks involved at the Philadelphia Church of God. Another one here says, when you get strikes from YouTube, that means you're doing something right. Thanks for your truthful news and Bible studies. Another one here says, thank you for boldly speaking the plain truth. I view the show every morning almost, and I'm always encouraged. What a blessing. What a blessing, I should say, for the youth to be able to attend the only two schools in the world that teach truth. Keep up the good work. My prayers are with you daily. Yes, indeed. We have the forums every Tuesday and Thursday for the young people going to the academy, going to the college, and right now in Epistles of Paul class, we're going through the book of Romans, and I've just been really impressed with some of the discussion we've had at the end of class on just the truth of God, on what the Apostle Paul was inspired to write. We're just making our way through some of these powerful chapters, Romans 11, 12, 13, an excellent study. I'll have to get into some of that on these radio shows. This comment comes from Mississippi. It says, congrats on the successful transition away from the big tech overlords. Lots of comments on YouTube cracking down on the program and our efforts to raise up our own platform. It says, I watched the show on playback yesterday, which is better for me than SoundCloud. I like the Apple podcast as well. It says, just a couple of comments that I've heard from some of my neighbors about the Joe Obama administration and the vaccine rollout. I was talking with a retired state Supreme Court justice yesterday, and he remarked, and I paraphrase, I don't necessarily agree with many of the policies of this new administration, but I have never seen a more organized transition and startup with a new presidential administration before in my life. It says here, I thought that was a very keen observation. Another friend, a Vietnam veteran that had taken the COVID vaccine, said, man, it was one of the most well-organized operations I'd ever seen coming from the VA. They moved us right through, kept us for 15 minutes and so on. I realized with the National Guard assisting at the vaccination stations, it should function smoothly, but the veteran was impressed beyond anything he ever witnessed concerning military organization. Just a couple of local observations to pass along, thanks to the TD team. So I'm not sure if he's crediting the Trump administration for that or talking about the Joe Obama administration. In any event, another email here says, thanks to God and all of you, finally, I was able to successfully watch the live stream on the website. I had tried a few times and was knocked off and couldn't reconnect. It says, whatever has been done, it's working. Not sure if others had the same problem or if it was my connection to Wi-Fi or the cell service. It was wonderful to see the program again. So I know in the early days when we were doing it ourselves, there was a little bit of problem with the buffering and so on. But I think a lot of that has been eliminated, even in the stream that I have on while doing the program. It just seems like it's more continuous, the flow from start to finish. It says here, another one, thank you, Trumpet Daily Radio, for our daily news analysis and spiritual encouragement. It seems as though God is exposing everyone across the board, and perhaps because so many are so blind, he's emphasizing what it is that we need saving from. That's a comment. Well, I'm not sure where it came from, but here's one that came from Georgia. It says, I've been listening for years, and I must say today was by far one of my favorite shows. Those scriptures you read were like our Father saying, continue to look to me. Also, Rand Paul did a good job of fighting back. This is in response to a program, I think, about a week ago. He did a good job of fighting back. That was truly a smackdown, like you said. Have a wonderful day and keep up the great work. Another one here from North Carolina. It says, I want to thank you for all of your dedication and hard work at keeping us all up to date with news that we can trust, given from God's perspective. It says, like so many, my husband and I no longer listen to any of the totally fake news media. How wonderful it is to be able to tune in to this program each week. It's a breath of fresh air in a world that is quickly becoming chokingly oppressive. I need to switch over to my computer here, as I didn't print off this last page. It says, one of the listener emails you read today mentioned the attack on our faith. I must say, I agree and believe that there has been a horrendous attempt to corrode and crack the faith of God's faithful remnant during these earth-shaking events in our nation. It says, I remember on the eve before the fake inauguration, which I could not stomach to watch, prayerfully going to God's word and reading Isaiah 55, where God assures us that his word will not return unto him void. I ended up in the Moffat translation, and after reading verse 11 in Isaiah 55, I read on to Isaiah 56 and verse 1, and then it quotes that verse. It says, this is the word of the eternal. Hold to religion and do what is right, for my deliverance is at hand. My triumph will be soon in sight. That's from Isaiah 56 and verse 1 in the Moffat translation. And then the listener says, oh, the comfort it gave me. It brought tears to my eyes, and I just knew that God was letting me know that everything was going to work out just as he has promised us in his prophecies. It says, finally, how blessed we all are to have God to look to continually. Keep on trumpeting. Well, that's a great comment to end on, just a few seconds earlier than usual. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to submit some feedback, you can email us at td@kpcg.fm. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.